There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile on this Friday Eve edition of the show. Glad to have you along. Same number it's always been. But if you're new, hey, write this one down. Put it in your contacts. 251 if you're new around here, but 343-0106, 343-0106. Get your text into the very popular text line. In addition, you can make phone calls, same number, 343-0106, and you can leave us a talkback message using the FM Talk 106.5 app. We can talk about that in just a little bit. But now, without further ado, if there was any ado going on, it's my buddy from Lanyap, lanyapmobile.com, Kyle Hamrick. Hey, Kyle.
Hello. How are y'all doing?
We're good, man. A lot to talk about here, and a couple of them focused around, all of them, Mobile City government. But I want to go in the time. I want to go in the time machine with you. This is a story that you had come out last week. As I've looked at the, you know, we're looking forward to the runoff of the Mobile mayoral race, but looking at what happened, you know, on the original, the election day, this, y'all, in, when you go read the story, you'll see this in the numbers, but you said, I'm going to read a paragraph here. You said, results from Burroughs Elementary School on Burroughs Lane in City Council District 4 show the narrowest margin between Drummond and Prine. The longtime Democratic state lawmaker won the precinct with 221 votes. Prine netted 219. That's something. Close. So once again, y'all, this is District 4, narrowest margin, 221 to 219 between Drummond and Prine. That's he came in third, but I guess the idea of the story is, but it's not just third. It's a pretty close third, a different kind of third.
Right, right. He definitely, you know, and of course we all know that Barbara Drummond and Spiritier guys are going to be in the runoff here, but the numbers show that, you know, Prine did ultimately come in third place, but he was very close to second in multiple and was competing with Spiro and Barbara for votes in most cases. It definitely is a interesting, you know, thing to see there.
You look at this too. It is, because you look at the kind of the history of mayoral elections in Mobile. Yeah, I think the Sam Jones at one time talked about the precincts, and these precincts didn't come out, those precincts. But to see Prine in some of the precincts we're talking about here being, I mean, that within a handful of votes of Barbara Drummond.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And Prine, I believe, and we're still trying, and we're still getting like the demographic breakdowns of these votes. But I have heard that, you know, that Prine did very well. Prine performed pretty well with black voters, and you know, he was born in Pritchard. He was a cop for several years, and just had those relationships there, and it definitely, you know, served his advantage in some of these precincts. Now, what it leaves for Spiro and Barbara is, you know, a pretty good chunk of votes, you know, that they're going to be competing for. Well, that they are competing for right now as we head to the 23rd for the runoff.
Yeah, that's the I guess for political people, that's like doing the between weeks of college football, deciding, you know, who's going to make what move and what video they're watching of the previous game. This is this thing we talk about and say, okay, so if they get, Jerry Gattis and Drummond get all their people to show back up, and that's not a given, but those people show up to vote,
right.
then
right.
how many Hudson voters and how many Prine voters do come back out? That's the first question. And
right.
out of that, how do they split? Right, where do they go?
That,
and this is
right.
that. This is that. This is a discussion we do on the show. But I mean, it's there's no study of it. There's no polling on it that I know of out there.
Right, right. I've not seen any polling numbers to that effect. But what we do know is that though the race is nonpartisan, the voters who supported Paul Prine and Connie Hudson. Went for conservative people to be the next mayor of Mobile, which I think that puts Spiro at an advantage there because as a district judge, he ran as a conservative and as a Republican. So you would think, just on the surface, that those votes would tend to go to him. I'm not sure how many people from the Prine camp will come back out to vote, seeing as their guy didn't get in the race. And of course the turnout to begin with for the runoff, I think will be a lot lower than I would like to see it. We're voting for the mayor of Mobile here, folks, you should get out and vote.
Right.
But generally speaking,
yeah. You're not on thin ice there. You're not because it, when we have runoffs, I mean, you're not saying this is not a super hot take that it's going to be lower. I mean, it was
right.
low in the first place, 26%.
Right.
If this thing, right. if turnout breaks 20, I'd be surprised.
Yeah. I think that's a pretty good one, too. It will definitely be less than the roughly more than a quarter we saw come out for the big election, where we actually could have gotten a mayor. So it's going to be interesting to see how it goes because, like I said, you've got the conservative voters who voted for two conservative candidates and where those chips are going to fall, that's going to be something to see.
Now, while we're talking about the election that was, y'all were following this better than anybody else out there over at Lanyap, the controversy in District 2, and that Samantha Ingram, who won, was mm-hmm. she a resident of Georgia? Could she vote here? And now that's coming back up, as you say, in this week's council meeting. William Carroll abstained
right.
from the vote to finalize the results here. So tell me more about
that's
this.
Right. That's right. So on Tuesday, they had an item on the agenda to say that the council has, seen the results of the election. We're going to certify these as the final numbers. And every member of the city council voted yes to do that, except for William Carroll in District 2, who said that, and I'm going to paraphrase here, but on the 40th anniversary of the Zogby Act, there is an appearance that law is not being followed, and because of that, I'm not going to take part in this vote. So that... and that vote didn't delay the proceedings. It's that there was another thing that kind of held things up. After they cast that vote, Councilman Carroll pointed out the fact that they hadn't actually formally counted all the votes yet, which is what caused the delay by, I think, 2 hours from like a little after 11 to a little after 1. But his act of abstaining from the vote was not the holdup. The holdup was that they had to get all of the votes from the Board of Registrars and the provisional ballots and things like that. But it definitely, was an interesting, stance to take, considering that, there was a lawsuit filed against the City of Mobile by Reggie Hill that, thought to have Samantha Ingram removed from the ballot. That lawsuit was dismissed, but I believe he brought that back.
But didn't they dismiss it as like it didn't have standing there? They weren't making an if I understand this right. They didn't make a judgment whether she could
run
or vote or not. They were just saying we're not the body to decide that.
Right. Well, and they dismissed it because the city clerk, as the chief election officer for the city, she doesn't have the legal power to vet candidates and determine if they're legally qualified to run for office. So they dismissed it for that reason, but they said that a lawsuit could be brought back after the election, and they would have to include Samantha Ingram as a party in that case, which Reggie Hill was not interested in doing in the moment. So I have heard, I've been hearing a bunch of things. I've heard that a challenge could come. As of right now, I have not seen that yet. But I have heard that some discussions to that effect are taking place.
Okay. We'll watch your reporting on that. And as we wrap up, too, so Water Street, getting across Water Street. I was just down there for the Business Expo, and we used the overpass thing there. But getting across Water Street or the walkability of Water Street came up at council this week. And what are they doing here? What's the idea?
Well, we're trying to find a bridge over troubled water street, and that is the city is going to commission some traffic studies to be done so that it can be safer for pedestrians to walk from the entertainment district on Dauphin Street to this forthcoming Riverwalk Plaza that we're developing still with a hotel and some restaurants and offices and stuff like that. So the city council is poised to fund that study. I believe it's going to be $800,000 just to try to make it, to where you don't have to take your life into your hands to cross that street. There's a bit of a complicator there, though, because of the long-expected I-10 bridge and bayway project. There's some question there of if ALDOT is going to take away those off-and-on ramps that go from I-10 onto Water Street. So the city said they're going to have to study both outcomes. If they take away those ramps, if they keep those ramps there, they're going to have to pay for studies for both to see how exactly they need to make Water Street more safe.
Nobody brought up my idea of a zip line just across Water Street. It would be fun and it would be cheaper.
We might could save some money there. You might could have two. You could have one going down, one coming back.
Don't you think? See where I'm going with this? You can zip line across Water Street, wave.
That would be fun.
Okay. Just want to make sure that's out there.
I think that'd be fun.
All right, tell me about the issue on Streets Now. What's the cover story here?
The cover story for this week is a profile of Brad Bass, who was voted to be the next mayor of Spanish Fort last week. Grant McLaughlin, my colleague, goes into detail on kind of what Brad's goals are for the Eastern Shore city. Which was the only city on the Eastern Shore that had a mayoral contest in Spanish Fort. Fairhope and Daphne kept their mayors, and I remember when I covered the Eastern Shore, Brad Bass kind of led a group of citizens in opposition to a retail development on Highway 31 they said would have been built on the site of a Civil War fort. So that kind of was his claim to fame there, and he apparently has rode that wave into City Hall. Grant goes into kind of what his goals are, and it's a pretty good paper.
Good stuff. Y'all check that out, and if they want to do like I do and check it out online, how do they get signed up?
Head to lanyapmobile.com. We have an online form for subscriptions. If you need some more help, call the office. We will get you set up.
Good stuff, Kyle. I appreciate it, man. We'll talk again next week.
All right, Sean. Sounds good.
There goes Kyle Hamburg from Lanyap, and we'll be right back.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 124, FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile. Now, if you haven't grabbed the FM Talk 106.5 app yet, you're missing out. It's for free. Free 99, free. Waiting for you if you're an Apple user, over iOS user at the App Store, or if you're Android user, Google Play. Both places, just look for FM TALK, the number 1, the number 0, the number 6, the number 5. No point between the 6 and 5. Just leave it out. So FM Talk 106.5. And you'll see our logo. That's our app. Download it. Stream the station there. Get all our social media with breaking news in one place. Our podcast post there first. Plus, you can call us and text us and talk back, message us all from one place, the FM Talk 106.5 app. All right, let me grab a couple of text here. Let's see. Catch up here. I don't know exactly where we were, but this from Fire Talk made me laugh. He said, well, what if we want further ado? Did you ever think about that? We want ado. Some hosts in the afternoon, I tell you. Okay, maybe we'll add in more ado. Without having, we'll have further ado going forward for Fire Dog. Maximus says, close only matters in horseshoes and hand grenades and nuclear weapons. Talking about the prime. I just thought it was interesting to see the precincts and how close Prine got to Barbara Drummond's numbers there. Haywood says the candidate who announces Prine will be an appointment to their administration will get his votes. How many of the people, I mean, I don't have an answer to this, but how many of the people who don't have the person they voted for last month, they're not on the ballot this month, do they come back out and vote? Obviously some will, but how many will? Is it 5%, 10%, 50%? Summerdale Tony says, yeah, skip the study and buy the zip line. I'm telling you right now, so if a safe way and a fun way to get across Water Street, Tony, right? You could have a zip line station on both sides, and you go up the little, you know, and maybe have like a, either leave from the parking garage or build some kind of little, you know, place to walk up a story or two, and then you wee across the street and do the same thing coming the other way. I'm telling you right now, a lot cheaper. If they can put that in, when they do the study, if they're doing the study, let's see, who is doing the study? It's who they award it to. $800,000 contract for the study. Volkert. Okay, Volkert, if y'all are listening downtown there, just take into effect how many people could we move across Water Street using a zip line? And I know you're engineers, but there's somebody there that's like a fun engineer around there. Let me know if y'all could get that done and what it would cost. Like people come in, they could wear the helmet the whole night, whatever. Clip in, right across. And have a good time doing it. CB Carl says, maybe they can put a chairlift over Water Street. There you go, a chairlift. And you get to see a little tour, and you going across the chairlift there, and you go across the street. It'd be fun. It's going to be a challenge. This idea of Water Street, and they're going to put the hotel and all that in there, it's great, but this idea that the Mobile River is going to be this, and I talked to, I think when he was first elected, Mayor Stimson, about this, and he and I disagree on this, that, you know, we needed to have this walkable riverfront. And you look at other places that have a walkable riverfront, but they are not the industrial port that we are. Do we need, I mean, how much walking around on Water Street needs to be done? You've got one side there, you've got Maritime Museum, you have the Convention Center. If we start adding stuff to the north, going up, how much? How much? I don't know. I mean, there's only so much space, too, that's not being used for the port. So, I don't know. Yeah, Dr. Mariana, how about a jetpack? Remember the Jetsons? Yeah, we could rent jetpacks to get across. Let's see. And then B-Dark said, how would you like a drone staring through your bathroom window, and they call it policing? I don't know where that came from, but I probably wouldn't like it. Did I miss something there on that? But no, I think that's a fair take. I wouldn't like a drone looking through my window. But at that height, a load of high brass fives could really do a lot of damage if they're just at the window. You know, I have a one-story house, so they're looking through my window. They're low enough. That's not even, that's just a trap shot, you know? That's, I mean, that's not even high brass fives. You could use some low brass eights and bring that baby down. So that shouldn't be a, I don't know where that came from, but it's interesting, something to talk about. And let's see. And then Fire Dog wrap up here. Disney killed off the People Mover in California. Bring it back. We could do that. Just other options if they're listening down at Volcker. Just gondolas. You've got zip lines. You've got what, the chairlift. People Mover. Exciting ways to get across Water Street. All right, coming back. More Midday Mobile, 343-0106.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 135 FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along. This segment of the show brought to you by my buddy Forrest at Blue Water Yacht Sales and Service. And if I don't know why you'd do this, because snapper season's still open and beautiful weather, but if you're thinking about kind of being done with the boat for this season, he's got the fall boat service right now. Like, so what we talk about in the spring, also you can put the boat up for the year having everything done. Great time to get the service done on your Yamaha. They got a 5-star gold Yamaha certified facility, Master Tech on staff. They do that work as well on Mercury's warranty parts provider there as well. And they'll go through the boat, not just the engine, get everything ready, but general maintenance, electrical repairs. If you want to install new electronics, all those kind of things, sound systems, they can do that. And winterization for your boat to make sure it's good. You say it doesn't get cold. Y'all remember what it was like in January when we had the snow and the cold. You need to get the water out of the foot of the engine, all those kind of things. They can do it all and get your boat ready for its winter nap. You need to set an appointment. Pretty easy to do. You can go to bluewateryachtsales.net. Information there, or just give them a call at 476-2699. 476-2699. See them on the East I-65 service road and at Orange Beach Marina. But yeah, get that service work done. If for some reason you're putting the boat up, I don't really know what to say to you. All right. Good to see these two friends in studio, Virginia Guy and Donnie Brown. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So this is an event. I told people earlier we had one of these in Sims, and it was well attended. And we're doing this again, the town hall addressing the alarming problem of fentanyl and other drug use in our community. So this is going to be where and when?
It's going to be at the Baker High School Auditorium on Tuesday, September 9th at 6 p.m. The doors are going to open at 5.
I'll tell you one thing from the last one. People say, well, I know all the stuff. I've heard all the stuff. To hear from the young people, too, that were there, and we talk about these cases, some right now just in the news this week, where young people have died. And I remember one child or one teenager in specific who said, that was my friend. Right. And to hear them talk about their friend and their life and how it was just all of a sudden over, it's really compelling. Even if you know it's a problem, wait till y'all hear it from the voice of somebody who lost somebody.
You're absolutely right. Those are such powerful stories. And, you know, we hear all the numbers and the statistics, but behind all of those are real people whose family loved them and their friends and family miss them. And it really causes so much pain.
You know, there's a lot that could be done. We talk about with the sheriff, and the sheriff's working on this, and law enforcement's working on this. But Donnie, as parents here, there's part of it that's on us to watch this.
It's a community event. I attended the Sims event and was impressed. And no community is immune from this problem, including ours. So I think me and Sean live in the same community.
Yep, we're neighbors.
I think we need to hear this. The parents, teachers, and the students.
You know, it's one of these things, too, that the fentanyl has changed that discussion. I've had this conversation before on the show, and it's hard. You know, you tell your kids, don't do anything. Don't touch anything. And I've said this. I think the statute of limitations ran out. I was also not supposed to drink beer before I was 21.
Correct.
I did.
We all know teenagers are going to be experimental.
Right. But you know what didn't happen? One beer. Now, I'm not telling don't obey your parents, but one beer didn't kill you. This fentanyl thing, one time, and they can be dead.
And not a lot of it. Just
yeah.
one drain.
And they think they're, they not that they should be doing anything else, but they think they're maybe doing something else, and there's fentanyl's in it, and they don't even get a chance. I mean, there's the chronic problem about the addiction and what we do with people who get addicted to this, but they may not even get to the point of addiction because they're dead. And that's what we're talking about.
That's right. We, you know, we talk to young people all the time about one pill can kill. Mm-hmm. This is the most dangerous time I have ever seen with street drug use. And it's, you know, we used to, you know, accept the fact that kids were going to, you know, experiment, mm-hmm. you know, by normal development, they're supposed to be taking risks mm-hmm. and pushing limits and those kind of things.
They do push limits.
Right.
Yep.
But today it's just too dangerous.
It is. So, you know, because, and I want to talk about all the people that are going to be there. But when y'all come out to this, you'll hear from law enforcement, you'll hear from the judicial system, you'll hear those people. But also, I think you learn something as a parent, how to talk to kids about this, how to not sound like a stick in the mud, but get through to their brains how dangerous this is.
That's right. And West Mobile, far West Mobile, has had an alarmingly high death rate from this drug. And
well, you're having it at Baker High School, too, that has so many of our kids go to Baker.
Yes, a big feeder pattern, very big. And I just think it's important for our community, and we've got the support of all the law enforcement, the judicial, I mean, the district attorney and all the fire departments and the police departments. And it's just been a great response from the agencies.
Yeah, talk to me about who's going to be there, who all they're going to see.
Well, we got Sheriff Paul Birch is going to be there. We got Judge Naaman, the juvenile judge, Judge Naaman. We have Randy Jackson, the chief of police of Mobile. We have Mobile County District Attorney Keith Blackwood. We have Mobile Fire and Rescue Department Interim Chief Barry Glisson. Lori Miles with the Mobile County Sheriff's Department, and Paul Birch, the sheriff of Mobile County, along with numerous other elected officials.
And they're listening to us at the same time they're giving us information.
Yes.
You know, I start thinking about, I wish there was a cheat sheet where you can go, if you do these five things, right, the kids won't do this. But it's not out there. But there are some best practices. Right. There's things we can learn.
Right. There's a lot of things when we, you know, that we want to make sure parents know and, you know, to talk to your children, start talking early, you know, with those really young messages about the difference in drugs and candy. And then, you know, expand those messages as the child grows older and they're exposed to more things. Make sure that they know to talk to you. Know where your children are spending their money. That's mm-hmm. a big thing. A lot of kids have a good bit of disposable income and you need to know. And then just talk to them about the dangers. When you've got these teachable moments where, you know, there'll be a high-profile death or an arrest, and that's an excellent opportunity to talk to kids about the dangers.
But that's tough, right? So these things, like doing the right thing, as Dad always said, is probably the thing that's uncomfortable. Yes. That's uncomfortable. Right. I don't want to take my kid and talk about this kid that died. This makes me, my hands are sweating.
But. You know, it's uncomfortable for everybody, and it's sad to me that we're having to talk to young people at such young ages now. But the world has gotten so dangerous with this fentanyl and some of the other drugs that are out there that we just need these kids to know that not to take anything that they get online or from a friend. If it wasn't prescribed for them and filled at a legitimate pharmacy, we need to consider that pill probably tainted.
100%. And that's a tough thing. You have to, like you said, younger and younger, because the studies show too, once the kids are older teenagers, maybe have gone, you know, they're into drugs or something like that, it's a lot harder to reel them back. And you're like, but I don't want to talk to my 9-year-old. Well, you have to.
Right. That's right. And, you know, we've got a lot of age-appropriate messages, and we can help parents, you know, learn how to talk to their children. And like I said, it's a lot easier when you start those conversations very young, because it's more simple with the younger children. You know, don't put anything in your mouth that, mm-hmm. you know, that I don't know about. You know, those kind of things. And then you can expand the message. So it gets it's easier as the children grow up to, you know, continue the message and make it a little tougher.
Yeah, you just kind of reinforce mm-hmm. what you said and right. then give some real-world examples.
And this is really targeting the educators, administrators, the parents. The children are welcome to come, but this is more about these people identifying what's going on in the community.
Right. yeah, educating us as parents. Yes, so yes. But I mean, it is, people are going to say, all right, I want an education as a parent, and I want some best practices, and you're giving them. And these are things that we're going to learn at this about, okay, I don't want this to happen to my child. Well, Donnie, Virginia, what the heck do I do?
Right. Yeah. And, you know, right now we've got a lot of young people in our community, really throughout the world. It's not just our community, that are under a tremendous amount of stress. So when I first started working in this field, almost anybody who got in trouble with drugs was partying. Mm-hmm. But today, more often than not, they're treating real pain, whether it's physical pain or emotional pain. But, you know, we've got an anxious generation. We've mm-hmm. got, you know, kids under stress. A lot of kids, you know, start using drugs because they're under stress to perform academically. Or, you know, athletically, you know, we're putting a tremendous amount of pressure on our kids. So we need to talk to them about ways to relax, ways to, you know, deal with their negative emotions, you know, in a healthy way. So a lot of this is also tied with the mental health crisis that our world is in.
You know, you talk about the things they take. I mean, there have been stories here that people didn't even think they were taking like a partying drug. They thought they were taking something to study or something like that. And that stuff had fentanyl in it.
Right. Yes. You know, anything, you know, the pill pressers, the illegal pill pressers are so good. When you look at a pill, like if you know what ADD medicine looks like and you've taken it and you are buying something from somebody or they've given it to you on the street, when you look at it, you can't tell the difference in the one that's the bad, you know, illegally pressed pill and the one that comes from the pharmaceutical, you know, industry. So you really can't assume anything. So anything you didn't get, you know, in a legal way, you know, you really need to consider that drug could probably be tainted.
100%. All right. People want to come out. Once again, this is Tuesday. Starts at 6?
6, yes. And Virginia, did you expand on some kind of credit that educators and counselors get for attending this?
Right. We're offering contact hours. If there's social workers, educators, teachers who need continuing education, we're offering contact hour, two contact hours that night. So they're welcome to come get those too.
Very good. Another reason to go. And this is at Baker High School. It's in the
auditorium
at Baker.
At 6 p.m.
Okay. And if people are saying, well, I'm riding down the road, you're throwing a bunch of words at me, Sean, where do they go online when they get settled here to look? Is this on a Facebook page or?
We're on all social media outlets, and we're also, they can look on our website at drugeducation.org, or they can call our office, but mostly just show up at the Baker High School Auditorium. Doors will open at 5 next Tuesday night.
All right. We'll be reminding you between now and then. I will be out there emceeing the event. I'll be happy to see people in my community coming out.
Don
Brown, Virginia
Guy,
thank you. Thank you.
I appreciate that.
Thank you.
Hey, thanks for putting this on.
Thank you for having us.
All right. Coming right back to wrap it up here on Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right to 151 FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile on this Thursday. Glad to have you along. Hey, coming up tomorrow, tomorrow's show, I know in the noon hour, speaking of, we talked earlier in the hour with Kyle Hamrick from Lanyap about the runoff coming up. One of the two in the Mobile mayoral runoff, Spiro Cherry Gattis, is going to join us in hour number one of the show. And number two, a subject that we love to talk about here, and obviously TV news is allotted, I don't know, 7% of their broadcast to any kind of bear sightings, you know, as they come up and people start talking about them, and then they, you know, bear video and all that. We've talked about it. I live amongst the bears as well. Christian Hernandez is going to join us. He is working with a program here where those of us interested in the bears around our area and the research done on them is going to answer some questions and talk about how we can help. That's in the 1 o'clock hour. Also, this, we talked about it here yesterday. I asked Cameron Smith his thoughts on it, and it got discussed, I know, some last night online, and then today during the day on FM Talk, is how much do we have to get built of Space Command before it could be taken away, right? It's been this hot potato. And I mean, I was kind of joking but serious with Cameron yesterday, saying, how many bricks do have to, you know, how much work has to be done at the job site where they wouldn't move it away and send it back to Colorado Springs or something? Well, this just saw popped up. The Martin Traylor, who's deputy to the garrison commander, says the command can theoretically be operational very, very quickly and under the three-year timeline where the Army, we're going to adjust to whatever we need to do. Right, 3 years. In other words, if they can get, because it's kind of the question we asked, right? If they get up and they're operational, I don't think. Now, can they get it done in 3 years? Maybe. I mean, you have Red Start Arsenal, you have some infrastructure there, but I mean, obviously, they're going to have to build probably new buildings and all that kind of stuff. If they get it fully operational before somebody else is in the White House, then I think it is going to be harder to move Space Command out. We'll see. I mean, stranger things have happened, but that to hear this from the garrison commander saying they will get it done within the 3 years. So in other words, concrete will be dry, the signs will be up, and it will be harder for this thing to go. You know, if Democrat, it is President Gavin Newsom next. He decides to take Space Command elsewhere. If this thing's built and the ink's dry and everything, so. There you go. There's an update to what we talked about yesterday. All right, to the text line here. Let's see. Where am I? CB Carl. There, James in Fairhope. Thanks, James. Why not just add a pedestrian tunnel under Water Street, which is kind of funny when you say underwater street. I follow you, but why not add a pedestrian tunnel under Water Street, but make it 5 foot tall so people bump their head when entering? That's James. That's funny. That's it could be, we call it the Bankhead 2 tunnel, and then give them the thing like maybe PVC pipe on chains where, you know, you hit your head on it before you go in it, so you know you're going to hit. I like it. CB Carl said, of all the ideas I've heard so far that could be made ADA compliant and not be cost prohibitive is the chairlift. Just saying, we got ideas. If they're listening down at the engineering, well, we got ideas. We could have the chairlift ADA compliance. We could also, in addition, have my brilliant idea for the zipline. Backstrap Stacker said, we need a gondola. Imagine the chairlift in mid-August, third-degree burns on your legs. Well, it might be a seasonal chairlift. Or a chairlift with a roof, right? B-Dark, the way the election is going in Mobile sounds like they're in line with Chicago. What do you mean? The election... about turnout or what? Wayne says, did you hear about Dolphin Island where they're killing the foxes? I heard some of this, I guess, Tuesday, and I saw a little bit of the Town Dolphin Island Council meeting, but I couldn't watch the whole thing. I saw some posts on it. I need to get that full story. I think we talked about it yesterday, too, what the reasoning is here on the... is there a problem with the foxes? I mean, if they're killing the foxes because there's a disease or something like that, then maybe there's a reason for it. I don't know that. Wayne, you're not the first person to ask about that, so I will we'll try to get an answer. We'll call down to Dolphin Island and see what we can find out. Also, this kind of goes with a story we had Tuesday about the guy in Houston. The kid was playing Ding Dong Ditch, this 11-year-old, and the suspect, who I think we know he did it, walks out there and shoots the kid, walks down the street as the kid's running away and shoots him in the back. I'm like, that's not Castle Doctrine, Second Amendment, stand your ground, that's murder. You don't get to do that. Also, this idea, and I think it bears some fruit coming from somebody who's pretty darn strong on Second Amendment things, where the limits are, and conceal and carry and protecting yourself. This is from WKRG. It's out of Okaloosa County, Florida, but listen. It says, Okaloosa County Sheriff's Office deputies arrested a Gulf Breeze man who allegedly pulled out a gun and pointed it at a woman and her teenager after the woman threw a cigarette butt out of her car window. I don't like it either. Littering and that's, but listen. So according to the news release, 23-year-old Caleb Mack was arrested and charged with aggravated assault with a deadly weapon without intent to kill. Officials said the woman was a visitor from Alabama. Everything started around noon, September 2nd, when she threw out a cigarette butt. The woman told deputies that when she and her family pulled up at the red light at the intersection of 98 and Airport Road, Mack pulled up beside them yelling. He then allegedly pulled out a gun with an optic and mounted light before pointing it at her. Sheriff's deputies say they saw Mack driving, made a traffic stop where he admitted he pulled out a gun, but claimed he never pointed at anybody. Okay, and they found the gun. I don't like littering. You don't get to pull, if somebody, you don't pull a gun. They say, well, he didn't shoot him. He pulled a gun and aimed it at them for throwing out a cigarette butt. Once again, I'm not a real big fan of the littering folks, but believe in your Second Amendment rights, but you've got responsibilities with this. So take that one. Paul Feinbaum on the way next. We'll do it all again tomorrow.